T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go shopping. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, we've got Terry Fox's credit card, and we're going shopping. Now check that. We've got Tony Ressler's credit card, and we're going shopping. Why are we shopping? Because Dennis Schroeder gone, y'all. Dennis Schroeder will not be the point guard of our Atlanta Hawks next year. There is the comments that Dennis Schroeder made in Germany about maybe Indiana, maybe Milwaukee. I need to be out of winter. Blah, blah, blah. Travis Schlenk went on the morning show this morning. Did not sound happy about the Dennis Schroeder situation. Basically gave a no comment until he talks to him. It feels like a divorce that needs to happen. And John and I love spending the money of owners. And we love playing GM. And we're about to do that. I have 10 possible trade destinations for Dennis Schroeder. Mm-hmm. And the Miami Heat is not one of them.
Okay. Well, Atlanta soccer fans, you could join 92.9 The Game this Saturday, May the 19th, noon to 4. Carriage Kia in Woodstock. We'll have a live broadcast with Chuckery and McMichael. Really entertaining show on the weekend. Really, really, if I give you the John Fricke, it'd actually be like 5 reallys for their show. But there's also a 5 Stripes meet and greet with Atlanta soccer player Kevin Kratz. For more info, go to 92.9thegame.com. Again, it's noon to 4. Carriage Kia in Woodstock this Saturday. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line at 404-741-0929. It's literally 50-50. 50-50 for the Laurel Yanny scenario.
I don't get it. I heard Laurel, but it's one of those optical illusion things or audible illusion things where I see one thing and you see another. But the 10 possible trade destinations for Dennis Schroeder are the Indiana Pacers, the Milwaukee Bucks, because he said those teams. Indiana, I perceive as a better fit for Dennis than Milwaukee. We'll get into that in a second. The New York Knicks, I have added to this list.
Okay.
They have a premium asset in the number 9 overall pick. The Cleveland Cavaliers, I've put on this list. They have a premium asset in the 8th overall pick in this draft. I put the Detroit Pistons on this list. And they do not have a premium asset that we would want right now. I put the Charlotte Hornets on this list. Kemba Walker has 1 year left on his deal. It's a 4-year, $48 million deal. He will be looking at $30-plus million in a max contract. It seems that Charlotte is reluctant to give him that. So we're going to kick the tires on maybe a Kemba Walker trade. Orlando is on this list. They have a premium asset with the 6th overall pick. They also have Aaron Gordon, who has yet to be paid. Does he factor into this thing? San Antonio Spurs are on this list of possible trade destinations for Dennis Schroeder. They need a point guard desperately. Mm-hmm. You can come at me with DeJounte Murray in his rock star partner all day long. But I don't know if DeJounte Murray is a starting point guard in the NBA. I think San Antonio's trying it. I'm not buying it, okay? So I think Schroeder would be an upgrade there. Two more. The Los Angeles Clippers. They need a point guard, y'all. Mm-hmm. They have Milos Teodosic, and they have Patrick Beverley, who missed all last year with an injury. Teodosic is a European dude who's in his 30s. They need a point guard. And they have the 12th and 13th picks in this draft. The 12th pick they got from Detroit in the Blake Griffin trade. And Phoenix, John. Yes, Phoenix. Phoenix has two needs, point guard and center. Center, they'll check the box on that when they take DeAndre Ayton, number 1 overall. And at 16, that is a pick owned by Phoenix. I am mocking Anfernee Simons, a point guard out of IMG Academy. They need a point guard. Dennis Schroeder might look really good in a Phoenix Suns uniform. So let's start there, because let's try to go get the number 1 pick. And then I know John's going to try to get Hassan Whiteside out of South Beach.
Well, that's a given, and that's something we do off the air that's funny, and we keep sending that to our buddy Zach Krantz down at QAM in Miami. He absolutely loves all that stuff that I cook up in my my warped brain. I like all the things you say with Dennis, but I want to add a layer to this equation. I want guys to sound off on this at 404-741-0929. what's the line of what you're willing to accept if you're trading Dennis? Now, is it a late lottery pick and you're talking like 11, 12, 13, 14? Is it middle of the first round? You mentioned Phoenix at number 16. Would you take that for Dennis Schroeder? Do you need to have a piece that comes back that can be a starter on your basketball team? Meaning, do you think you can flip Dennis 19 and 30 to go get Kawhi Leonard? I mean, in that scenario, I would do that every day of the week and six times on Sunday if you get back a superstar player in Kawhi Leonard. Or do you just need assets somewhere along the line, cap guys that are going to disappear where you're going to have more money in the summer of 2019?
In terms of what we would get back for Dennis, I want to look at the Torian Prince trade. Mm-hmm. We traded Jeff Teague for the 12th overall pick.
Yep.
That's all we got.
And I think Dennis is better than Jeff Teague.
And so we flipped that into Torian Prince, mm-hmm. who we love. And he thinks he's going to be an all-star. He looks like he might be a future all-star to me as well. So that is a good precedent set by this organization. Mm-hmm. They traded an all-star in Jeff Teague for the 12th overall pick, knowing that they would, you know, get that pick right and then have that player for it. So I would be okay with a lottery pick for Dennis Schroeder.
Okay.
I don't need a player necessarily. I don't need to take on that contract money. I don't need a player we bring in to get in the way of the development of a Prince and of a John Collins. But let's fantasize here for a second. Mm-hmm. Phoenix and Atlanta, to me, I think the puzzle pieces kind of sort of fit with making a trade. Phoenix needs a point guard, and they need a feisty point guard to just ramp up the competitiveness of that team. So what about this? What if we went Dennis Schroeder and the third overall pick and the 19th overall pick? Mm-hmm. So Dennis, 3 and 19 for 1 and 16.
I think Phoenix says no.
So you're getting DeAndre Ayton at number 1, and then you're getting whatever you want to get at 16, and there are decent players available, decent prospects available at that time. Are you willing to cash in Dennis Schroeder, a mid-first-round pick himself, number 3 overall, and 19 for DeAndre Ayton and the 16th pick?
Am I willing to? Absolutely. I think Phoenix looks at that and goes, no, we're going to get a local kid in DeAndre Ayton who played at Arizona, I believe grew up in Arizona as well, and we're going to get him to come be the face of our franchise. Why do I want to trade out of that and get away a guy that you and I both think could be the changer for a franchise? You already have a guy that can shoot it really well in Devin Booker there in Phoenix. I think they keep what they have. They take their pick and they go, no, I'm good.
I don't disagree with that at all. Here is a possible door-opening scenario to that. The Phoenix Suns' new head coach is Igor Kokoschkov. He was the head coach. He was the head coach of the Slovenian national team. Mm-hmm. Luka Doncic is Slovenian. They won Eurobasket together.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you get your point guard, you trade back, and you pair your head coach with this hotshot Slovenian in Luka Doncic. Is that a likely scenario? I wouldn't say that it is. But let me ask you this. Would you go Dennis Schroeder, the number 3 pick, and the 19th pick for the number 1 pick?
Would I? Yes. Again, I'm getting
so you
the
don't
number...
need that 16th pick back as sweetener from Phoenix.
Not really.
You would go Dennis 3 and 19 mm-hmm. for number 1.
Yes.
I would as well.
And again, I don't think Phoenix will do it. If there wasn't the local tie with
you
DeAndre...
agree with me though that it's close and debatable and something for them to think about? We are giving you, how old is Dennis Schroeder? 24, 25?
23.
Mm-hmm. We're giving you the guy last year he had borderline all-star numbers.
Right.
I mean, he had really good numbers. I get it's a bad team and all that. He's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. Dennis Schroeder's a good player.
He's no
one doubt. Of the best. One of the best. His metric that makes him so valuable, he's one of the league leaders every year in points off drives. What do coaches love? They love when you get to the basket. What do coaches hate? When you give up straight line drives to the basket. So I'm just saying, I think we're kind of sort of close to a deal here.
How about this one? My buddy Hans sends the text to my personal line. He said, realistically, how about number 30 and Dennis to the Bucks for number 17? Then you'd have 3, 17, and 19.
30 and Dennis for 17. I don't like that.
Not enough? Are you not getting enough in return?
So we have to give up 30 and Dennis mm-hmm. for 17.
Right.
Nah, I don't like that.
Okay.
I need to move up a little higher. 17, look, I've analyzed this draft every way to June, okay? 17 is just a weird spot in this draft. You're really kind of blind. You're blindfolding yourself, and you're throwing a dart at a wall. You really are. I mean, there's some nice prospects there, but I'm not in love with them.
Me neither.
I would say no to that.
What about if you go, and I don't know, Denver actually drafted a point guard, so that's not going to work. Jamal Murray's there. But just say you get in that range. You get in the Denver, the Clipper, the Charlotte
all
range.
Right. So
11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay, so for the Clippers, we say we want your 12th overall pick. We'll give you Dennis for it.
Okay.
Are you doing it?
I would.
And that's where I'm going with a couple of these. The New York Knicks have the 9th overall pick. If you are the Knicks, and right now I think Colin Sexton, they need a point guard to me. That's what they need. Colin Sexton and Trae Young are going to be off the board at 9. I have them going Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now, the point guard out of Kentucky. DeSean Tate hates that pick. Shaun Thompson hates that pick. They just don't like it. I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander more than them. Would you rather take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander reaching for a point guard at 9 or flip 9 into Dennis Schroeder?
Well, I'd rather flip 9 into Dennis Schroeder.
Okay, so let's make a deal with the New York Knicks. Cleveland Cavaliers. I am mocking Trae Young to them at number 8. Colin Sexton may be there at number 8 because Orlando, to me, has a swing decision for them at number 6. They desperately need a point guard, and they're another one of the teams here that we might be able to make a trade for. So, Cleveland, would you rather have Trae Young at 8 or flip 8 into Dennis Schroeder?
See, and if I'm Cleveland, I can't make a trade until I find out what the King's doing. If the King is staying, which, looking at it, probably not going to happen. You figure LeBron's going to walk in free agency. But just say, for argument's sake, LeBron stays. Then I do want a point guard like Dennis Schroeder, who can create his own shot, who can get to the basket. He'd have to work on his jump shot a little bit. But I can't make a move if I'm them beforehand, because if LeBron bolts, they're going to want young players. And Dennis is probably not the type guy you want to build around.
And if I'm the Cavs, and they I don't think they're going to lose the next two. But if, like, you go back to Boston in game 5 and that's it, it's a wrap, and LeBron takes his jersey off again as he goes into the tunnel there at TD Garden.
Yeah.
Shades of 2010.
Sure.
He may be gone, and then you might need at that point, you might want to go younger, or you may want to keep the thing together if you still have Love and all these veteran players, and then you add a ready-made point guard instead of Trae Young, who needs to ramp up to NBA play.
The problem is, though, if you take LeBron off the Cavs, they're an 8 seed, even if they get a Dennis Schroeder, they're an 8 seed. And I think at that point, Cleveland's going to go, all right, the NBA has already hooked us up 3 times with top picks. We're just going to suck. And that's what we're going to go out and do.
And that may be the case. So Orlando at 6, do they want to go Young with a Sexton or a Young, or do they want to flip that pick into Dennis Schroeder?
See, I think they're a team that wants to go young. You look at that roster, there ain't much in Orlando. There's not much there.
Let's talk about the Charlotte thing. I don't know why the Charlotte Hornets are hesitating to extend Kemba Walker. I don't get it. He's under a long-term contract with them. They can extend him, give him max money, have a press conference, everybody's happy. But they have a new GM in Mitch Kupchak. And they have a new head coach as well. So maybe they want to do something different. Kemba Walker, to me, I love him. I love Kemba Walker. He is a true all-star in this league. He's a guy that can get you 20, 30, 40, 50.
Yeah.
He's that good. He's a 2-time champ at UConn. He's that guy. New York City point guard. Love him. So let's try to figure out a trade with Charlotte here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Dennis Schroeder has mentioned Indiana and Milwaukee as possible new homes and said he wants to win, this kind of thing. John and I are perceiving that a divorce is coming between Schroeder and our Hawks. So, Kemba Walker, what do we have to give to Charlotte to get Kemba Walker? We give him Dennis Schroeder and what, John? Do we give him Dennis and 3?
You might have to.
I don't know if I can give you Dennis in 3.
I can't either.
But what if we give him Dennis in 16? Or, pardon me, in 19?
I don't know.
And then Charlotte has 11 and 19 and Dennis on a nice low number over the next 2 years. And then you have you have 2 teens picks to work with.
Me personally, I'd be all about that. I just don't know if Charlotte would be about that life. If they're not going to extend a Kemba Walker, who is a better player right now than Dennis Schroeder, why would they want to trade away that asset to get a worse point guard and a, middle-of-the-road pick?
Good question. But you prolong the decision on Schroeder. He's got 2 years left at about $15 million per, which is great normal money. That's not great NBA money.
For I think a guy he's got averaging, 3 years left.
I think it's 2. We can look that up.
It shows 4, but I think that's including this year for Dennis Schroeder.
So, but nevertheless, it extends the decision on because Charlotte, they have a gun barrel in their mouth right now. You got to make a call on Kemba Walker. They may have to trade him in advance of the draft if they can't, if they make the decision they don't want to extend him. But I think the Phoenix thing, the puzzle pieces are fitting-ish. And I think with Charlotte, a lot of these teams, like, again, the New York Knicks at 9, They're always trying to get into the fast lane and win. They're right. never going into a season trying to the T word. They're never trying to do that. And maybe this year with Porzingis out, they will. But they're always trying to win. And Dennis Schroeder gets them closer to that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll give you a code word here in just a quick second. But correct me if I'm wrong. Draft first in the NBA, then free agency.
Correct.
Ugh, boy, that complicates so much because that LeBron carrot's hanging out there and teams will completely change what they're going to do. But let's give away $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Well, the code word is window, W-I-N-D-O-W. If you look out the window right now, it is raining, but you'll text window right now to 72881. One of my favorite songs used to say, to the window, to the wall. Come on, Rick.
To the sweat drop.
You don't remember that song?
I don't know.
To the sweat drop. Never mind. We can't say the rest of it because FCC will have a violation. But text window.
If I had a prompter, I could have sung along with you there.
Text window to 72881. We'll get Jahi to play that one as we get ready to go to break here. But window to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000.
What about the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard?
I'd do whatever I could to get Kawhi Leonard. I literally would give up Dennis in the third for Kawhi Leonard.
And if you're... Okay.
You're San Antonio...
Let's just stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't San Antonio do that? Why wouldn't they? You've got a 23-year-old point guard of the future.
Right.
Okay? Parker is virtually dead as a player.
Yep.
And like I said, DeJounte Murray's a backup point guard.
Yep.
I don't believe he's a... Schroeder would immediately give them the dynamicism that they needed, point guard, that mm-hmm. they've lacked for, what, 5 years?
Yep.
And you would get the third overall pick, which would be Doncic or Bagley. For Kawhi, who is... Dude, he is like the huge red zit at the end of your nose mm-hmm. to the San Antonio Spurs yep. right now. He is, the situation's ugly, it's in the way, and you want it eradicated.
He also is a superstar when he plays, and there's no doubt, he's top five in the NBA superstar. I literally would give him Dennis 19-3 to go get Kawhi Leonard.
I don't disagree with that. If they force my hand on that, You know, the Spurs, didn't we kind of...
Yeah, we helped them out.
Didn't we kind of help them out with the LaMarcus Aldridge thing and making a move to free up money so they could go get LaMarcus Aldridge?
Wasn't that your guy, Tiago Splitter, that we took $9 million bucks of him?
It was. Come on, Spurs. Let's make a move. Let's make a deal.
Hook us back up. By the way, Kawhi Leonard's 26 years old, and he's still got 2 years on his deal, only paying him about 20 per. I'd do that in a heartbeat. We'll talk to Grant McCauley coming up next about the Braves. How mad was he about the hose job that the Braves had to deal with last night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and watch 92.9thegame.com.
Smoke to the right side. Baez is there. And the Cubs take one away in the ninth inning and beat the Braves by a final score of 3-2. This one's got controversy written all over it. But a couple of doubles in the ninth inning and a Zobrist hit lead Chicago to a opening series win, making them 4-0 here at SunTrust Park.
Chip Carey in the zone for Fox Sports Southeast. Before the Zobrist at bat, he said, and here comes another one of those professional Cubs hitters. And then zoink, he gets the hit and ball game, unfortunately. And I know that it's not rare to lose at home. We've kind of been doing that lately, but just a Braves loss feels like, what the hell, man? Like, we've been winning so many games, but Rick and John chopping up Braves at 11:20 like we do every day. But on Wednesdays, we bring in Grant McCauley, Braves and MLB insider. And Grant, I just want to start with the whole challenge thing and the mm-hmm. manager's ability to challenge. Refresh my memory, and a lot of the people listening on iTunes or in their car right now, on the challenge rule in Major League Baseball. How many challenges do you get? How does it work out with the innings in the game? Just give us the rules.
Well, you get one before the seventh inning. Each manager gets one. If you lose the challenge, you get no more. If you win the one, you get another one. If you lose the challenge, then you lose your challenges till the seventh. I believe it's after the seventh inning, then it's crew chief review, then on out from the eighth inning on. Either way, I mean, it's an imperfect system, which I'm sure we can get into, and it's one that MLB needs to take a much longer and more stringent look at because there are a number of different factors in last night's game. And let me just point out, I would say the exact same thing if this was on the other foot and this was the Cubs that were in the same position. Those replays last night and the lack of a replay after the Braves lost their challenge were incredible momentum-shifting calls in a game that ended up being decided by one run. Now, sure, you had a blown save at the end of the game. I mean, a lot of things happened, as they usually do in a baseball game, but you can look at those two plays and say it completely changed the outcome of the night, and the Braves, you know, were unable to overcome what was a bad call at the plate and a guy that should have been safe in Johan Camargo, and then the inability to challenge a worse call at third base when Charlie Culberson was called out by the crew chief Sam Holbrook. So a lot of things were going on in that fifth inning. Not many of them were very good for the Braves, though.
Let's go back to the play at the plate that obviously changes. That should be a run scored for the Braves instead of another out. Maybe keeps a rally alive as well. Yeah, you never know what's going to happen after that. What was the mood in the ballpark at that point? Because watching it, it's clear as day he's safe at the plate.
Well, frustration, of course, in the Braves dugout. I mean, you could see on television, you know. But the other thing, too, is a lot of folks have pointed this out with, you know, well, Brian Snitker needed to come out and get himself thrown out. Well, if he took one step out of the dugout after a replay review, he gets thrown out automatically. Mm-hmm. So that's just not – I don't think that's not going to change the play, number one. Number two, it doesn't really help. For the optics, it may be fun, but that doesn't really help your club out overall. I mean, there's a case to be made, I guess, if you're trying to fire him up at some point. But the club didn't need firing up at that particular point, at least in my opinion. But be that as it may, the attitude in general was that it was a terrible call, and they were trying to figure out what in New York they're looking at that would tell you that that call needed to stand. And that's the thing is, call stands, call confirmed, which means we saw the exact same thing that was called. That was not the case last night. It was just call stands, which means that we didn't see enough to overturn the call. So that kind of language is very frustrating, and I don't know, again, what they were looking at, because it's not just that there's 40,000 Braves fans in the ballpark that looked at that replay within 30 seconds and saw the angle that said, look, that's indisputable right there. Some of the other angles may have been in question. The initial call may have been out, but I don't see that how that could have overwhelmed the clear view that you have of the plate with Johan Camargo's hand across it and the tag going up above the shoulder.
To me, it feels – Grant McCauley talking Braves with Rick and John. To me, it feels like the NFL gives the coach two challenges throughout the football game, and that's what you get. Under 2 minutes, obviously the refs do it themselves. To me, it is a no-brainer to give managers two challenges in the first seven innings. Because why not? First of all, what do you have to lose in that scenario? So to me, this is Major League Baseball just kind of dipping their toe in the water. We've made a fix, but they didn't go far enough with the fix. Now, let me take this a step further. Mm-hmm. I believe that if this happened to the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Dodgers.
Or the Cubs.
And if they went to Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred, the commissioner, and complained about it and perhaps protested about it, that those big boy franchises would have some influence on maybe a rule change taking place. Where are the Braves in that hierarchy?
It certainly feels like anybody is on the outside looking in past a couple of different clubs. But I'm not here to put on a tinfoil hat and say it's a conspiracy and, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees are always going to get the replays and have it everything their way. But in terms of having a louder voice at the table, if that's what you're asking.
That's what I'm asking.
Then, yeah, I think that they would. And look, and I said this, and I posted this kind of a thread on Twitter because I went home and I slept on it because I think, you know, sometimes when you need to get outside of a situation and give it some perspective, that does help. But nothing about what I felt and saw and experienced last night led me to believe anything different about replay other than over-reliance on the original call is a really big problem and a component of the decision-making process for New York when they're reviewing it. And it should be independent, I think, and based solely on the video. I'm not saying you have to edit the umpire making the call out, but it should be, okay, regardless of what they called, you are now in charge of making a call. You have 90 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever it is. It should never be more than 2 minutes, by the way.
Go.
To make this call and do it on your own and not worry about, oh, well, this is really flying in the face of another umpire who was in a tough position making this call on the fly. That's not the point to say, well, we need to prove all the umpires wrong. I know their job's hard. But the point is, if you want to use replay to get the play right, then get the play right. I don't want to hear any more about, well, we need to confirm the original call with an umpire who's back in New York and needs to make the call. There needs to be a complete church and state, I guess is what I'm saying. Replay needs its own church and state in order to get these calls right. And this should be important to Major League Baseball. And to your point, the two challenges – all it did last night was, and this doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen enough, it compounds the problem when a manager loses the ability to challenge a equally bad or worse call because he lost another challenge that he believed was worth it. I don't want everything to be challenged. I don't need everything to have replay. Nobody does in any sport. But last night was just a clear indication that MLB's replay system at its basis level does not work the way that it needs to work.
Arodis Vizcaino last night blows a save. Braves obviously lose the game. Grant, does anything need to change at the back end of the bullpen, or is that your closer going forward?
No, I think that needs to be a fluid situation, and I think that it can do a number of different things for the Braves closer situation because, number one, it's a long season. Arodis Vizcaino is an important arm for them, but a guy like A.J. Minter, who we saw get a save chance in Chicago, got a little dicey, got a little, you know, crazy or whatnot, but he has the stuff. I think he has the mentality. I think it's worth giving him the challenge, seeing what he can do in that spot. And then Dan Winkler has been nothing but a big gun in that bullpen, lights out reliever for them in some good leverage situations. I think those are two guys you look at and look to mix in there. I'm not saying never give Arodys Vizcaíno another save chance in the next month or 2 months or whatnot, but moving him out of that role or into a little bit of a committee, if you will, may help just kind of take a little bit of the pressure off, because I think he's going to end up being important for you. Let him reset. Let him work through some things. Let him get, you know, back to where he's feeling like he's commanding those innings, because I went through and looked at what Arodys Vizcaíno has done. In 20 appearances this year, he has only thrown 7 perfect innings. None of those have come in any of his 9 save chances. So there have been base runners all over the place. In addition to that, he has another loss that came in a tie game, which it obviously is not what you're looking for either. So in leverage situations this year, Arodys Vizcaíno, an ERA just over 5, a lot of base runners, kind of a problem when you're talking about the most important outs of a game as you're trying to slam the door. Good thing for the Braves is they haven't blown a bunch of saves this year, but they have blown 3 now through 41 games. And at the end of the day, or end of the season, every game counts.
Interesting. Grant McCauley joining Rick and John here. We're talking Braves. We do it at 11:20 every day. I'm surprised to hear you say that. I really am. And we can we can agree to disagree. I just think it's a little bit premature to start reworking it. And you bring great
and
stats.
And again, I said committee. I didn't necessarily say just take him out of it and don't ever give him the opportunity again.
But
something is clearly not working in leverage situations when there's base runners all over the place. And we're going towards Memorial Day, which for me, that quarter turn that you get to, that's enough to say what things are working for us, what things are not, what things should be aware of, and what should we maybe do a little bit of tweaking to, whether it's overwork or struggle or a combination of the two.
So, but here's my thing. First 18 appearances, he gave up 3 earned runs.
Right.
And the last 2 appearances, he's given up 3 earned runs. To me, that you got a guy that's in a little bit of a slump. We hung in there with Acuna. He goes yard last night.
It's different for position players. I
get it. But I would hang in there with Vizcaíno a little more. And the reason that Grant, I'd have my eye on him. Okay, but I would hang in there with him a little bit more as the closer. I would not rework my entire bullpen for 2 bad games from Vizcaíno. But you are a guy that you're such a baseball guy that you preach patience all the time. And you just play that card a lot, and it's usually the right card to play. So, Grant, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that I'm surprised that you are playing the let's change it up card. Usually you play the patience card.
His most important situations that he's coming into, there's base runners all over the place in every single one of them. And that's why I look at it and say you have to be aware, be cognizant of it. Again, I'm not saying that he needs to be pulled out of any game that's important and should only pitch when the Braves are either up by 10 or down by 10. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying you need to have a plan B. Every team needs to have a plan B. Some teams have a richer plan B, like the Yankees. They have like 4 guys in their bullpen that can close, and they would be well served to use any of those 4 on a given night. However, it's just one of those things where for the Braves, in the situation that they're in, not having a clear alpha male or alpha dog out there in that bullpen, there are some guys I think that have worked their way into being considered as high leverage relievers, and you've got to have options, because say you've used Arodys Vizcaíno 3 or 4 straight nights and you got another save situation. Somebody's going to have to come in and pitch that game at some point. This is just kind of building that throughout the summer. There's a lot of things that can work into this equation, and one of them is kind of giving him a little bit of a mental break, and number 2, allowing some other guys to step into opportunities I think that they've earned and could end up being valuable experience for them down the line.
Really good stuff, Grant. As always, don't forget Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Grady Jarrett present the 5th annual 92.9 The Game Celebrity Golf Classic Wednesday, June 6th at Topgolf. We need you guys to sign up today. Go to 92.9thegame.com. We're changing up the golf tournament this year. Target Golf.
Register, people.
Yes.
Register.
Hey, there'll be some great celebrities there. Grady Jarrett, Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Spoon, Takeo Spikes, Ray Lewis, Derek Shelby, many more. Again, 92.9thegame.com. Go to our event page. Register your team today. Rick and I are going to be there. I'm going to be swinging a big stick. Just don't ask if I can hit a target, because I probably can't. We take a break. We come back. College football cheat sheet. Is Jim Harbaugh locked in for life? Is he part of the NWO? We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And the College Football Cheat Sheet is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com. We have some very fun, coachy NCAA nuggets to talk about. We'll get to Nick Saban and the UCF thing in a second. But John's favorite head coach in college football is Jim Harbaugh.
That's not my favorite head coach.
He's got the tennis shoes on and the khakis, and he's always got his navy blue Michigan sweatshirt tucked in awkwardly. Mm-hmm. And he's always got a hat on, and he's always got some glasses on. That guy, Harbaugh, picks his nose and eats the booger. That guy.
Goes to satellite camps and takes his team to Mongolia and anywhere else they can go.
And he is 1-5 in his 3 years at Michigan against Michigan State and Ohio State. 1-5. So there's a lot of pressure on Jim Harbaugh, but not in Ann Arbor.
Well, apparently not. He's never won a Big Ten title. He's never beaten Ohio State. You mentioned 1-5 against his rival, but athletic director Ward Manuel. When your name is Ward, don't you just sound like you have money?
You do. You also sound like you've been on planet Earth for a minute.
You have been. Well, he was speaking Tuesday at a meeting of Big Ten athletic directors. Says he wants Harbaugh and John Beilein, which I'm fine with John Beilein, to stay at Michigan until they are ready to retire. So if you're a Michigan fan and you sit back and you hear this, you go, man, Jim Harbaugh has zero pressure to do anything more than he's been doing. Make a boatload of cash. Lose the biggest game and just stay as the head coach of Michigan. Do you want to hear that from your athletic director if you're a Michigan fan right now?
It depends on what kind of Michigan fan I am. Do I have blinders on and I just drink the Kool-Aid? Then I love this. Yeah, Harbs for life. We're going to figure it out. We're going to do it, right? There's that fan. And then there's the cynic. The cynic doesn't like hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
The cynic wants to beat Ohio State so bad he'll eat his arm off to make
Absolutely.
It happen. Okay? And so the cynic isn't liking that, the you know, Harbaugh for life thing at all. But John, in terms of what this athletic director is doing is trying to defuse mm-hmm. the hating,
yep.
the hot seat, he's trying to get out in front of it almost like he kind of sort of knows this upcoming season isn't going to be that great. And he's getting way out in front of it like, zip it. Zip it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dr. Evil to the people around the table in the Austin Powers. Zip it. Like he doesn't even want to hear it. Don't even bring up job insecurity about Jim Harbaugh because he's going nowhere. He's a Michigan man for life. That's what that AD's doing.
What's crazy, and they actually, now with Shea Patterson being there, should have a really good football team. Defensively, Don Brown always puts on a great defense. They're always going to be top five in the country. They've got a lot of talent coming back. You start to look at that schedule for Michigan, it's kind of laughable, to be honest with you. Other than a couple of games in the Big Ten, and I'll say four games in the Big Ten. You got Michigan and Notre Dame early on. They should beat Notre Dame.
Tough game.
Should beat Notre Dame.
I don't know about that.
They get Penn State at home, they get Wisconsin at home, and they go on the road for Michigan State and Ohio State.
Therein lies the rub.
You got to split those four games. You can split those four and go 10-2.
Here's the thing. He doesn't have to do a damn
thing. No, apparently he doesn't.
He doesn't have to do a darn thing. He's a Michigan man for life. But I hear what you're saying in terms of, like, we're college football heads, mm-hmm. man. It's all about winning at all costs. Duffel bags full of money, the whole thing. So that's where we are. So to that point, you're right. There is pressure on Harbs to break through this year.
Am I wrong, Rick, that, like, literally every time I go into Publix or Kroger now, I'm looking for a college football preview magazine?
Nothing wrong with that.
Like, I'm like Pookie in New Jack City. Just, come on, man. I need me a book. I need one of these magazines. And I haven't seen any yet.
You're going to be okay until Phil Steele's magazine drops?
Like, this is the point where I'll buy Street and Smith. I'll buy Horse and Hound. I don't care who has a preview right now. It really doesn't matter. It could be the Wall Street Journal has a college football preview. I'm going to buy one right now.
You and I should get together and we should make a college football fantasy magazine.
I like that idea.
And sell 5 copies.
No, you know what? I think there were a lot of listeners to our station last year that said, dude, we want to do this. They want to do college football. I had more fun playing college football fantasy than I do playing NFL fantasy.
Bingo. I'd say the same thing. I've been a fantasy football player since the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Rice was my first pick ever in fantasy football back in 89. Okay? I've been doing this a long time. And college football fantasy has completely captivated me, and I'm out of control with it. So Harbaugh's a Michigan man for life. Now, mm-hmm. Nick Saban got shady with Central Florida.
As he should. He was talking to USA Today, and Nick Saban was talking about Central Florida. He said, if you honor and respect the system that we have, despite some of the imperfections that you understand that the system has, then you wouldn't do something out of respect for the system that we have. That's kind of confusing. I guess anybody has a prerogative to claim anything, but self-proclaimed is not actually the same as actually earning it. And there's possibility, or there's probably a significant number of people who don't respect people who make self-proclaimed sort of accolades for themselves.
Yes!
And I'm assuming while he was making this comment to USA Today,
the podium pops.
Oh, he was banging on the podium.
I liked that last part. Can you read just that last part?
He said, and there's probably a significant number of people who don't respect people who make self-proclaimed sort of accolades for themselves.
A significant amount of people, including Nick and us here in the Kia Studios on this show, we've been mocking Central Florida since they claimed that stupid national championship that they didn't earn.
Like I said, it was cute on January 10th or 12th. Hey, we're national champs. All right, that's fine. It was idiotic when you had a parade. Now the fact that you've got a banner hung in whatever stadium you play in, because nobody cares what stadium you play in, and the fact that you've got recruits wearing national champion shirts, your program looks lowbrow and idiotic.
It really does. It really does.
And when you go 7-5 this year or 8-4, whatever you may be, you'll go back to being the fifth or sixth best team in the state of Florida.
Bro, what they've done is they have ruined a 13-0 season.
They have.
Like, just go 13-0 and shut the bleep up and sit the bleep down, and we will loud you. And we will always look back at, man, that one year when Central Florida was 13-0, they beat Auburn in a bowl game, right? Mm-hmm. Now, all we do is want to get shady with them.
What year was it? Auburn 2004, that I believe goes undefeated and gets locked out of the BCS championship game. I haven't seen Auburn hanging national championship flags. And let's be honest. Auburn probably had more right to claim. I think it was 2004 with Jason Campbell and Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams. And somebody will text me in and correct me. But I think 2004, Auburn was undefeated. They get locked out. They don't get a chance to play for the national championship. You don't see them claiming trophies. It's ridiculous. Central Florida, you know what? You guys are going to get what you deserve. We take a break. We come back. We go around the 404. We're going to revisit how excited it was for the Hawks to pick up the number 3 pick, and then how disappointed we were that the Braves got absolutely jobbed. That's all next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it. Zip.
Look, all...
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Exhibit A.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.